Good morning and welcome to the Bighorn Mountain Radio Network's 2018 Johnson County Sheriff Candidate Forum. We are live on 1450 AM, 103.5 FM KBBS, also on Facebook Live through our Bighorn Mountain Radio Network page. I want to thank Johnny Gonzale running the camera for Facebook Live. Thank our new GM, Devin Bannister, in the studio running things for us. I'm Brady Safranik. And our five candidates running for sheriff are, in order from the farthest away from me on down, Rod Odenbaugh, Paul Kozichek, Jake French, Doug Schultz, Leigh Braley. That's a look at our five candidates. Here's how the forum is going to work. We're going to start with a one-minute opening statement from each candidate. Then we'll get to the question portion, where each candidate will have up to 2 minutes to answer each question. We randomly picked the sitting arrangement before we got started this morning. Question one will start with the first person, question two with the second, so on and so forth. And then we will finish with one-minute closing statements from each candidate as well. So let's jump right into it. We'll start with Rod with question number one here. Rod, what experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
Well, I think I have a couple.
I'm sorry, Rod. Let me cut you off here. I'm not even following my own format here. Yeah. I just said we were going to start with one-minute opening statements, and I jump right into the questions.
I was ready for it, too.
Well, let's go ahead and start this over, and we will start with one-minute opening statements, and we will start with you, Rod.
All right. First off, Brady and Jonna, thank you for allowing all of us to be here. I think that the community needs to know what candidates, what they're all about, and this opportunity for people to listen to it, and the Facebook also is pretty important. My name is Rod Odenbaugh. I've been in law enforcement for 21 years. My wife's name is Mary Odenbaugh. She's a teacher at the middle school here in town. I have three kids, Michael, Meg, and Katie. I started off my law enforcement career in KC. We moved our family there. For the most part, we raised our family here, and then 13 years ago, I was a police chief in KC, and I moved to Johnson County, and I've been working here ever since.
All right, that's Rod Odenbaugh. Now we'll move on. We've got Paul Kozichek up next for the one-minute opening statement.
Good morning. Thank you for having us and hosting this. My name is Paul Kozichek. I've been in law enforcement for 20 years. First 4 years I was in detention prior to transferring to patrol, where I've been the last 16 years. I've been involved in numerous areas in the sheriff's office, as well as in detention prior to that. I'm a member of the Johns County investigating team. I'm a member of the juvenile intake team. I'm a board member for the Johnson County mentoring program. And I'm a member of the Western Rural Livestock Association. I'm married. I have four kids. All four kids attend school in KC. My oldest becoming a senior. So that's going to be entertaining and life-changing. That's about it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, Paul. Up next, Jake French, a one-minute opening statement.
Hello, and thank you for having us. My name is Jake French. For those of you who don't know me, I have also worked in the Sheriff's Department for 18 years, all in the detention setting. I administer the jail right now. I've done that since 2011. I got promoted very quickly from the sergeant to lieutenant to a captain throughout those 18 years. One of the biggest accomplishments through that is transitioning from the old detention center of 17 bed inmates to this one that houses 61 total, and we went from four detention officers to 16. My wife lives here, my kid Cadence, and she did a fantastic barrel run Tuesday night. Thank you. But anyway, I'm here to answer the questions.
All right, thank you very much. That's Jake French. Now Doug Schultz, a one-minute opening statement.
Hi, I'm Doug Schultz. I'm a deputy with the Johnson County Sheriff's Office. Been in law enforcement about 12 years. Prior to that, I worked in YMCAs and had leadership and management opportunities through there, YMCAs across the state. I'm a father of five. My wife, Jennifer, is a teacher online and had the privilege of raising my kids here in Buffalo and in Johnson County, and tons of the activities and things that we love to do here. So just appreciate you guys showing up and listening. I want to thank Bighorn Mountain Radio for hosting this forum.
All right, Doug Schultz. And finally, Lay Braley, one-minute opening statement.
Good morning. My name is Lay Braley. I've lived in Johnson County almost my entire life. I went to school here. I've lived here, like I said, forever, other than when I went away to college. As soon as I graduated with a degree in criminal justice, I was hired by the sheriff's office here, and I've been employed here for the last 25 years. I have a wife, Shauna, who works at the hospital through home health and hospice. I have a daughter, Ashlyn, who is leaving for University of Alabama here any day now, and a son, Preston, who's going into eighth grade. During that time of the sheriff's office, I've worked in all areas, including the jail and patrol.
All right. Thank you. That's our opening statements. And now we'll get into the question and answer portion here. And we'll start with Rod with this one. Rod, what experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
Well, I think twofold. I have kind of a unique perspective. I've worked in Southern Johnson County as a police chief, or the chief of police, and I worked there for 7-8 years, and then I moved here to Buffalo. Mary also taught in KC, and then she got a job here. I think that I bring some assets to the table that throughout the 13 years that I worked at the sheriff's office, I've been a part and formed teams that are super successful. Those teams are the child investigative team and our narcotic team. And I think I work well with others. I think you can talk to the people that I work with and I work around that I am completely devoted and dedicated to this job, and I put in the hours that are needed, and I think I bring that to the table.
All right. Thank you, Rod. Now we'll move on down the table. Paul, same question. What experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
I believe, I've been there with the sheriff's office for 18 years. I've had the opportunity to see the changes that have come. I've been part of numerous different teams, as with Rod as well, and getting those teams formed. I've been involved in investigations with numerous organizations. I've collaborated with different agencies, state and federal agencies. I think, I'm dedicated to the job. I'm dedicated to the sheriff's office and dedicated to the community and the citizens. Being born and raised here, I kind of have a good understanding of what Johns County is about.
All right. Thank you very much. Move to Jake now. Jake, what experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
I believe the experience I have is just that and what my job is right now. I am an administrator. I administer 15 people and along with 42 inmates as of right now. Oh, she says I got to get closer. Is that better? Like I said, I've worked there for 18 years. I climbed up through the ranks very quickly. I've been the first line supervisor for many detention officers and now the actual jail administrator for all those folks. And the actual experience from doing that has helped me throughout many years develop that base knowledge on how to take care of people and how to take care of the people that work for you.
All right. Doug, same question. What experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
Well, I've been with the Sheriff's Department for 12 years, been in a number of roles, been a DARE officer down in KC and helped teach classes up here. Also been involved statewide with the Wyoming DARE Officers Association as a treasurer in their kind of frontline admin leadership. But prior to being in law enforcement, I was actually a director with YMCA's for a number of years, both as a youth program director, a senior program director, moved up the ranks, then being an operations director, and finally a CEO here in Buffalo. In all those positions, I managed budgets, managed staff, and managed properties and programs. And so with all those experiences, I bring something to the table the others don't, is understanding team building and leadership, both within law enforcement and also outside of law enforcement. And what I've learned is team building, leadership is leadership, and really bringing those skills to the table is what I bring to the sheriff's race.
All right, thank you, Doug. Now to Lay, same question. What experiences and qualifications do you have to be sheriff?
Well, I knew early on that I wanted to be in law enforcement. I went to college, I got a degree in criminal justice, and I was hired here by the sheriff's office as soon as I graduated. It wasn't a job that I fell into after something else didn't work out, or it was just a job that happened to be there. It was, you know, a job that I knew I wanted to go into. It was a calling that I had. So I got hired here. I started out in detention. I worked in a detention center for 4 or 5 years and gained extremely valuable experience and training back there. I was then moved to patrol work, where I worked for a few years, and I eventually applied for and beat out other people to be promoted to sergeant. I then, a few years after that, was promoted to lieutenant, and I've been in that supervisory position, I think, for about the last 16 years. So last 18 years or so, I've been a supervisor. During that time, I've been involved in training hundreds and hundreds of officers around the state, whether they be local or federal. I teach many different classes. I've been going to Sheriff and Chief Association meetings and trainings for many, many years, being trained to be the best sheriff that I could possibly be. And I just have hundreds of hours in Homeland Security training, incident command training, as well as hundreds of hours of supervisory of search and rescue, and it just goes on and on and on. Essentially, my position for the last 18 years has been the sheriff when he's not around, and they've taught me everything I need to know to do this job effectively for the citizens of this county.
All right, now we will move on to question number 2, and with this, we will start with a new person here. Paul, you're going to get the first shot at the second question. Paul, how important do you believe transparency is in the sheriff's office, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve it?
I think transparency is extremely important. I think the sheriff's office has always been pretty transparent with everything. I'd keep an open door policy, keep that going with all the citizens, with the staff. They keep that transparency open and keep everything out in the open. It's been done for as long as I've been there. It's always been pretty transparent.
All right. Jake, same question. How important do you believe transparency is in the sheriff's office, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve it?
Just like Paul said, transparency is very important. And right now, as Paul said, he would have an open door policy, and that right now I do have that open door policy for any of the employees to come in, as well as the inmates to come in. The transparency goes from the public through the detention folks to the road guys and through the inmates and administrators all together. Everybody has to be working on one certain page for everything to come along. When it starts getting the water's getting muddy, that's when it becomes an issue. So we have to keep everything out in the open and make sure everything gets handled appropriately and in a reasonable amount of time.
All right, Doug, same question. How important do you believe transparency is in the sheriff's office, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve it?
I think transparency is critical because to me it's tied with communication, and I feel like that's one of the areas that we definitely could improve with the sheriff's office. Both using social media to reach out to the community, to get input from the community, but also within the department. I think it's critical to have the community know who our deputies are, what great things they're doing, even to the point of putting those kind of profiles and little vignette stories about what our deputies are doing in the community, just to open up, hey, this is how we're serving Johnson County. I think it is critical with in-house as well. Sometimes we find about things, if you're not working, you don't find about it until some of the changes, until you come back on. And I think it's something that we can use to lead people better just by being better communicators from the top down.
All right, Lay, same question. How important do you believe transparency is in the sheriff's office, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve it?
Well, obviously, in today's society, transparency is
extremely important. I believe that our office has always been transparent. We're always willing to talk to anybody that may have questions in the community. I can't really think of any time that we haven't, you know, been able to talk to somebody. Obviously, there are certain times where there's investigations or cases where they're ongoing and we're unable to give out all the information at that time. But as soon as we are, I know we're really good about doing that. You know, we've also, through the years, I've been able to upgrade our vehicles to include in-car cameras with mics and such. And that's one of the ways that, you know, when we get complaints or we hear things that maybe the deputy's not doing right or maybe something they did right, you know, we can go back and listen to those things and, you know, make changes if necessary. We also have our complete center set up with recording devices on our phones and stuff, so if we get calls and stuff, you know, we can record those about complaints, and we always like to follow up on those and make sure that we're doing things the right way. There's always room for improvement. You don't want to get stagnant and say there's not. So, you know, I think it's extremely important, and we'll continue to thrive and try to do a better job at that.
All right, back down to Rod with the same question. How important do you believe transparency is in the sheriff's office, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve it?
Well, I'm with these guys. I think the sheriff has done a pretty good job of when the public wants to know something. We're also bound to give out information. Like Lay said, there's circumstances where you can't, or if it has to do with a juvenile case or it has to do with an investigation, which a lot of times that happens, is the public wants to know all this information, but we can't do it at the expense of an investigation. So as soon as that information is forwarded, or the investigation is finished, then that information goes out. That's how I've seen it done in the past. I think that that's how it should continue.
All right. Now we'll move on to question three, and we're going to start with Jake French on question three. Jake, what do you feel is more beneficial for the next sheriff, formal education or on-the-job experience, and why?
Well, the formal education is huge when it comes to training, just because, one, we're mandated by the state to have a certain amount of hours to be trained, so that is very important, because if you don't get those, you're not certified anymore. The on-the-job experience training is absolutely important as well, because that's how we learn our trials and tribulations, and how we learn from our mistakes is we dive into something and do that, and we base that experience on the training we have. And even if it's for the good or the bad, if it goes haywire, then that experience will lead us to the next step. If you run into that same situation again, that's how you learn, through training and life experiences.
All right. Doug, same question. What do you feel is more beneficial for the next sheriff, formal education or on-the-job experience, and why?
Yes. I think it's a combination of both, Brady. I think definitely it's good to have the education, whether that's college or whether it's special classes that you've taken online in criminal justice, whatever those things are. You know, we do a specific training at the academy. But I think once you come out of those kind of trainings and those kind of education experiences, you really, it's not applied yet. And some learning comes in application. And so I think it's a combination of both. I think it's good to have that background. I think, you know, everybody should continue learning. Everybody should be reading a book. I'm reading In the Pit on a Snowy Day, so if you're looking for one, there's a good one. But everybody should continue learning, both on their job, but also in formal education. I listen to a lot of podcasts that deal with leadership and deal with inspiring others and building teams. And I think it's important to continue your education. And I can't say that on the job is more important than the other, because I think there's a learning that happens in both. But once you apply that learning, I think that's where it happens. When I came into law enforcement, I had a lot of leadership and management skills and training, but I didn't know a whole lot about law enforcement. So I did ride-alongs. I went with people from around the state and asked how they did different things, because to me it was something that I wanted to learn about and be better at.
All right. Lay, same question. What do you feel is more beneficial for the next sheriff, formal education or on-the-job experience, and why?
Well,
with my history, I feel that both are equally important. You know, that's why I went and got a college degree right off the bat, because I wanted to get a jump start on it and have, you know, the best start I could have. But then I also feel, you know, in law enforcement, we deal with people's lives, you know, and it's extremely important to have, you know, training and experience equally, because, you know, you could potentially, you know, cause someone to die out there, or you could do something that's illegal. It goes on and on and on. You know, that's why I think it's important, and our state thinks it's important to have continuing education. Our officers are required to have X amount of hours every 2 years to maintain their certifications. They're required to go to academies, whether it be detention or peace officer, right off the bat to be certified. But then that experience falls in there too. You learn things that, you know, that's one way to do one thing, but, you know, maybe your area or your agency wants to do things just slightly different. So that's where experience falls into that. And, you know, and I think that's, in my opinion, that's why I think I'm the best candidate, because I have the full package, you know, the education, the training, and the experience of actually doing the behind-the-scenes things that a sheriff does. I've been trained to do those things, and I think it's extremely important to know that. I think it would be a disservice to our citizens to have someone in the office who's learning as they go, because again, you know, it's an important duty. People's lives could be online if they don't know how to do a certain thing. So yeah, I think they're both equally important. I think they'll continue to be equally important, and without one or the other, I think you're gonna have problems.
All right, now back down to the other end of the table. Rod, same question. What do you feel is more beneficial for the next sheriff, formal education or on-the-job experience, and why?
Well, I'm with the rest of the boys. I think the education is important as well. We have classes that we take. We all take different classes. I think street smarts is probably the most beneficial thing you can have. If you know what's going on in the community, you know who's doing what and where they're doing it. That just makes a person successful. I'll give an example. With our narcotic stuff, we have a lot of people that we talk to. That doesn't come from books. That comes from, you know, hey Rod, hey Pat, tell us what to do. We got something that doesn't look right, doesn't smell right. You pay attention to the public, and when you're out on the street, you pay attention to everything. And education's useful, I'll tell you that. But I think you get thrown out on the street, and you learn every day you're out there. You're learning something.
All right. Over to Paul, same question. What do you feel is more beneficial for the next sheriff, formal education or on-the-job experience, and why?
I believe both of them they're both going hand in hand with each other. You got to have that formal education so you have an understanding of what's going on, and as well as on-the-job training. You know, we deal, like the other guys have said, which I agree with them, is what we're dealing with is life situations, and those situations are always different. There's never the same situation you're dealing with, the different circumstances, different environment. So it's always ever-changing, and that on-the-job training is hugely important. The formal education kind of gives you a good base of where to start. With our extra training hours, you know, we spend, like Rod and I have been to numerous trainings involving crimes against children. Every training we come back from, you know, we apply some of that on the job, and we use that information that's useful. So thank you.
All right, now we'll start with question 4, and Doug Schultz have first crack at this question. Doug, when it comes to the budget, how do you stretch those dollars to fill the county's needs, and what gets top priority?
Well, public safety, I think, should always be a priority. I have a degree in accounting. That's where part of my formal education, as well as going to the academy. So budgets, they're something that are living and active. You have to look at what the needs of the community are. But to me, the most important thing are officer safety and public safety. That's where I don't think you ever have the opportunity to make cuts. I think there are ways to look at grants and some of those kind of things. I visited with folks in law enforcement from around Wyoming and around the country that use grants on all sorts of different items, whether it's training or whether it's equipment, and that help alleviates and stretches some of those dollars on the rest of the budget, where you can focus on making sure your staff are taken care of. But to me, that's where you help alleviate by looking at what are other sources where we can get income. We're very limited. You know, I know we're now taking federal inmates, and that helps with some of our budget on the jail side of things and really helps alleviate some of those problems. And those are things that I think we can look to expand. I think there's always opportunities to save money, whether you partner with other agencies or other partner service providers in the community. But I think there's other ways to look at how do we do this. And unless we're willing to ask those questions, I think we're going to do things the way we've always done them. But I think there's a room for improvement there just by asking those questions. How can we do this better?
All right, Lay, same question. When it comes to the budget, how do you stretch those dollars to fill the county's needs, and what gets top priority?
Well, through the years, I've been involved in the budgets, and you know, and different commissioners have different ideas about what money we should spend and where. And you know, we've always been able to be very frugal with our budgets. I believe that it's been extremely rare if we go over our budget at all. Generally, we return money to the county. We do not waste money ever. And you know, but public safety is important, and you know, we could cut vehicles, or we could, you know, cut fuel or this or that. But then we lessen our exposure out in the county. We lessen our enforcement actions. If we have vehicles that get really old, they break down, we can't serve the community. You know, so there's times where you got to spend the money. But we've been very lucky that we've been able to work with our commissioners and get the things that we actually really, really need. There have been some grants out there that I've been able to get through the years, through whether it's body armor or some vehicles. We've been able to get state surplus equipment that way for search and rescue type vehicles, and some firearms that way, which saves the taxpayers a lot of money. I'm not really sure there's a big area where we could cut money. You know, we did lose an employee a couple of years ago, and he was not replaced, and that's made it hard on us to have coverage that we need at all times. But you know, we've been making do, and we'll continue to make do, because you know, taxpayers' money is really important. We don't want to waste that. So that would be, you know, my goal, to continue to be frugal, try to find some grants if they're out there. Some grants are not the best thing for our county, to be honest with you. The amount of paperwork and the amount of time that it takes to get those grants end up costing us more money. So, you know, there are some areas we can improve, and some, you know, that I think will stay the same.
All right. Now back down to the other end. Rod, when it comes to the budget, how do you stretch those dollars to fill the county's needs, and what gets top priority?
So I think I'm on the same board. We got a budget that we start with, and obviously it's been working for the sheriff's office. I do think in a $2.3 or $2.4 million budget, there's some wiggle room somewhere. We have a money tree in the jail. We have, you know, we can get DOC inmates. We can get federal inmates. And Jake can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we're getting $55 a day for DOC inmates right now. And if that continues, what Jake has started in April, if that continues on, you look at it, $250,000 a year. And that's why I say the money tree. Let's use that. That's what that jail was built for. Let's use it for what it's built for. And I think the other, so President Trump made the opioids an epidemic, and part of that opened up millions of dollars worth of grants. And I know that when we do the drug stuff, Pat and I never turn in our hours, and we don't want to make that stop. You know, and if we could get some money to help with that, whether it's wages, it's equipment, it's surveillance equipment, whatever, I think we need to aggressively pursue those grants. And I'm with Lay. Don't go after the ones that are going to cost you the money. Go after the ones that are made for the small communities. And we got intelligent people that can apply for grants all day long. And let's do that.
All right. Over to Paul. Paul, same question. When it comes to the budget, how do you stretch those dollars to fill the county's needs, and what gets top priority?
You know, I agree with Lay and Rod on this. the budgets, the sheriff's office has always been pretty frugal with their budget. It's always been pretty consistent. There's been a little fluctuation with things that might be needed, maybe to match a grant, but then the budget goes back down the following year. You know, with the taking on DOC inmates, that's going to help alleviate some of that cost. I think that, you know, the biggest part of everybody's budget is personnel, and you know, if we have to cut any of the budget, you know, we're gonna have to take it line item by line item and look at each one of those, you know, because personnel is the most important to keep. So we don't want to go there, but that is the biggest part of the budget.
All right, Jake, same question. When it comes to the budget, how do you stretch those dollars to fill the county's needs, and what gets top priority?
Well, it's a tough one because Sheriff Kozacek has run a financially tight ship throughout these years, and as Lay pointed out, there's not a lot of cuts in that. And Rod did say it's, you know, 2.some million, the jail being 1.2 million, and then the rest being the sheriff's the roadside. Is there some fat on the ham bone there we can get off? Absolutely there is. One of my ideas, and I know I've chatted with Rod about this before, is having the inmate bring the inmate worker program out. We spend thousands of dollars on car washes for the sheriff's office vehicles. So why can't we put those boys to use, gals to use, that are sitting in jail, and make them do some something to give back to the community? And why does it have to stop there? Why? I know it's getting into different entities, but I saw on the paper or somewhere that the Mike Sell Potts area needs cleanup people. Why can't we utilize those inmates and save the money, the taxpayers, in every avenue that we can find? Not necessarily the sheriff's office. It all comes in the same pot anyway. So let's utilize these folks and save some money. And with the DOC inmates, yes, Rod, it is $55 a day. Right now, we currently have 15 females from Lusk, and they do bring in a lot of money. As of when we started that, right now, we're up to about $80,000, but it does not go right back to the detention center. It goes to the general fund. So it does get back to the community, but for people that aren't aware, it just doesn't go back to the jail.
All right, now we'll go on to question number 5, and we'll start with Lay to start this question. Lay, how significant do you believe it is to have a good working relationship between the sheriff's office and the local police departments, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve upon that relationship?
Well, I think it's extremely important. We have worked very well together with each other for the last, well, since I started there, I think we've had a really good working relationship. There's often times where there's maybe a business just outside of the city limits, and it used to be that there'd be one deputy working a time back in the day, and we would rely on the city officers to back us up. But it also goes the other way. The city officers have always relied on us to back them up as well when they had less people working. And even to this day, we have task forces, whether it be drug or child investigative teams, they all work together. You know, we may have one sheriff department guy, one police department guy, and they're working together doing an investigation. But you know, it works extremely well, and I don't see any reason why we would change that. I think it would be a disservice to our communities to not continue that. These teams have been extremely successful, and they all have different areas where they get information from, and they share it, and it works great. So I don't think I would want to change anything with that. It's working too well.
All right, all the way down there to Rod. Rod, how significant do you believe it is to have a good working relationship between the sheriff's office and the local police departments, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve upon that relationship?
Brady, I don't have to take any steps, because I think that I've proven that I can get along with everybody, and Chief Carter has been a rock star along with the sheriff when we formed those teams, and there's no jurisdictional issues. I work well with those guys, and ultimately, Brady, we're all on the same team. We do the work for, we have a common goal, and we should all work together to do that. And our team What we all talk about forming teams, we have teams. We've all had that opportunity to make that decision and make that jump. We have. And I think it shows our success in the child investigative teams. Paul knows that when you're working together and people stem out and there's no jurisdiction, we've had PD officers go to KC on a kid case. We've had deputies go in town to do undercover narcotic buys. We're constantly doing that, and that has not stopped. And I think the more we push on that, the better it comes out. I had a guy tell me just the other day, and which is pretty telling. He gave the I guess saying is what you'd put it. He said, "Go fast, go alone. Go far, go together." And I truly believe in that.
All right, over to Paul. Paul, how significant do you believe it is to have a good working relationship between the sheriff's office and the local police departments, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve upon that relationship?
You know, I'm with Rod on this as well. You know, all the years I've been there, we've had a great working relationship with the police department. When I first started, it was after 5 o'clock, there was one PD officer on, one county officer on. That was it. And we relied on each other for backup. You know, if an officer was on a call and they had another call come out in town after 5 o'clock, you know, the deputy went and helped him out with that and took that call for him. And we've had the PD respond to calls just on the edge of the county when we're not available and coming back to town, because some of the, you know, when it's life or death situation, sometimes you got to have the quick response. And if the deputy's 20, 30 miles out of town, they've got to get there. I think we've always had a really good working relationship with the police department. I think with the teams, both the sheriff and the chief have both been a part of that, and that's shown just in what's been taking place. Teamwork will solve a problem a lot faster, and you get a lot more work done and quality work done.
All right. Jake, how significant do you believe it is to have a good working relationship between the sheriff's office and the local police departments, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve upon that relationship?
Yes, it's extremely important to have that working relationship, because like Rod stated, we're all on the same team. And not only that, when people in the public do see you, they don't see the different uniforms. They just know that you're there. But the working relationship, one, has been fantastic, like these guys said, and continue to be. One thing needs to be maybe addressed is a little more education for some folks that has never worked in the detention setting to fully understand what that job is and entails, and not just take it upon themselves to just drop off prisoners and leave them be and make sure they're not medically safe. Speaking of backing people up, I remember when Jason Carter was on the road and I was in the jail. It was like 4 o'clock in the morning and I was his backup. There was a thing at one of the restaurants and I left the jail and went there, and just so happenedly the guy named Dale Dean, he had a rape victim and he ended up going to prison for a long time, and he also had a social security card they found from a rape victim in New York. And so talk about working together. I mean, from the jail guy that's getting ready to serve some cereal to running and backing him up. I mean, it was fantastic. And being a part of that was great as well.
All right, over to Doug. Doug, how significant do you believe it is to have a good working relationship between the sheriff's office and the local police departments, and what steps would you take to maintain or improve upon that?
I think it's critical, Brady. I agree that our frontline guys have had great relationships, back each other up without question. But I think the partnerships in the community on emergency service providers can always be improved. We can do it better. I had a conversation with Chief Carter just yesterday, talking about some ideas of how we could do things a little bit better. You know, I think all the relationships that we have in the community, whether it's with the public or whether it's with other service providers like the police department, we definitely need to strengthen those bonds and continue to build those. And I think you do that through communication and through continuing just partnering on activities. You know, I want to see the Sheriff's Department have a great presence in the community where we are recognized. I think they do recognize the different uniforms. And I'd like to see our guys out there more involved. You know, we have guys that I see go coach sporting events and go do all these things in the community. As with their uniform on, because they're allotted that time to go and coach their kids' teams and do those special things. And I think those are the partnerships that we strengthen just by being included in some of the community events with the police department. A lot of times we're told to be out in the county. We're criticized for not being out of the county. But also, a lot of stuff happens with county members here in Buffalo or down in KC. And I'd love to bring some of those guys down so they can experience what goes on in some of those larger events, you know, like the Chris Ledoux days. I think there's tons of room to improve that relationship with the city, and that needs to be continued.
All right, we'll move on to the next question. Back down to Rod to start this question. This is a unique election in the way that most elections, the people running against one another don't necessarily work together. You guys, in one way or another, all have a working relationship. When this election is over, four of you will not be sheriff. How do you continue forward with a good working relationship amongst each other?
Well, I think so far we've done pretty well. I was actually surprised how well we're getting along, because it's Brady, I hate politics. This political game is not. It takes me completely out of my comfort zone, and we're all stressed out. We know that the sheriff's position is a big spot, and it's. It's important that the people make the right decision. You know, we all have our roles. We do different things at the sheriff's office. I don't think that goes anywhere. Not for me anyway. I don't know. I can't speak for these other guys. I would assume that it's the same. But yeah, I think if you're an adult and you just keep plugging along, we're after the greater good and don't stop. And I don't see it happening from these guys.
All right. Paul, same question. When the election's over, how do you continue forward with a good working relationship with one another?
You know, like Rod just said, you know, at the very beginning of this, we kind of, at least I was part of numerous conversations about, let's keep it clean, let's enjoy this. What's that?
Enjoy.
Well, I don't know about enjoy, I guess. But, you know, we're all after the same thing. I think we're good sports about it. There's no personal vendettas. It would make it a lot more difficult if there was a personal vendettas. But there's not. We're all here because we believe that we could each do a good job at this. And we'd like to do that. I think at the end of the day, it's after this is over, it'll be, you know, congratulations to whoever wins this. And we just keep going forward. I think we'll be able to work with each other. We're picking up, I'm sure, ideas from each other. So if you do become elected, you can start implementing some of those ideas from what the other candidates are saying. So I think at the end, you know, we'll just be stronger, and the teamwork will just get better.
All right. Over to Jake. Jake, when the election's over, how do you continue forward with a good working relationship amongst each other?
Well, I'll continue forward just like I always am. I've had a great working relationship with everybody, and this is not hindering me one bit on working with them. And these guys are right, and I'm sure they're going to tell you the same thing. We're all adults here, and we can put our big boy pants on and get this thing done like adults. You know, there's enough negativity in the world as it is right now with law enforcement as it is. We're not going to smear it on our community. Absolutely not.
All right, over to Doug. Doug, when the election's over, how do you continue forward with a good working relationship amongst one another?
You know, I've been asked that question several times, and because it is unique. And, you know, these guys are all good guys. They're all leaders in our department. And I think how you do it is you meet and talk. You sit down, you build the relationship even deeper, and you ask questions. You know, we have not just the sheriff retiring. We have the undersheriff retiring. So there's going to be transitions. You know, we have other folks that are close to retirement. And so you have to look at how the sheriff's department goes forward. And I think you do it with a good team, and these guys are part of that good team. And then the question is, you know, I'm not worried necessarily about how the sheriff department looks in the next 4 years or 8 years. I want the next sheriff to be concerned about how does it look 20 years from now? How do we build this team so that we're a strong entity going forward and we're doing things well for Johnson County?
All right, over to Lay. When the election's over, how do you continue forward with a good working relationship amongst one another?
Well, like these guys have already said, you know, we've all been acting professional as far as I'm concerned. There really hadn't been any mudslinging or anything like that going on. I think we all have the ultimate goal of, you know, making this county the safest and best place for the residents of this county. And we'll continue to work well with each other. I don't think any of us are horrible at our job. We all do a great job in our areas, and we'll continue to do that no matter what happens. We want to do the best thing we can and act the best we can and do the best we can for this county. The citizens are too important, and this job is too important. Like I said before, people's lives can be on the line, and we all want to make it safe and better for the citizens of this county.
All right, now we'll start the next question with Paul. Paul, what distinguishes you from the other candidates sitting at this table?
You know, I don't think anything really distinguishes me different than anybody else. We've done a few of these things already, and we've talked. And, you know, the thing about it is, if you listen to those, we're all saying the same thing. Just like Lay just said, you know, we're trying to do what's right by the citizens of Johns County. I think it's great that there's five of us around from within the department, because, you know, it's showing that the initiative and the team that's been built over the years, we're passionate about keeping that and keeping this this going as a great department and keep building that. So, you know, I think I bring a perspective that as far as I've worked in both entities. I've been involved in the community in different things with my job, both in the state level and the federal level. So I think, you know, other than that, I think we're, like I said, I think we're all just on the same page, and I think we'll go from there.
All right, over to Jake. Jake, what distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I'm not going to say I am distinguished by any means, but no, everybody here is fantastic. Everybody has a role they can play in. My only attribute I can throw in amongst over some of these guys is I have been an administrator, and I do the budget. The jail has the biggest budget in the county, and it is also the biggest liability in the county, and to try to manipulate that budget so it is safe for the workers and the inmates as well is a challenge, and I do have experience in that, and I do have the experience in administering not only inmates but deputies as well.
All right, over to Doug. Doug, what distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I think as previously stated, you know, with my prior career and leadership in a whole nother entity, basically being sheriffs of YMCAs, leading people, managing properties and programs, that's what I bring that's different. It's some of the outside thinking that's different than just law enforcement thinking, and just the network that I've built across the state. You know, we have a great group of guys. And again, my question is, how do we make this so much better that it just is a going concern well into the future? You know, how does this, to where we can make the sheriff's department look better 20 years from now? That should be our goal in cultivating leadership within the department and really building a plan on how we get into the future.
All right, over to Lay. Lay, what distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, as I've already said, I'd have to say it's my education, my training, and my actual experience doing the sheriff duties. For the last 18 years, I've been in the back. I do a lot of things that people don't realize. Administrative stuff, paperwork, budgets, scheduling. I'm the guy that gets called in the middle of the night whether or not someone should be in a high-speed chase or not. I'm the guy who gets called, should we go on this search and rescue? I'm the guy that deals with issues inside of our building, whether it be phones or computers, IT issues, security issues. Those are all things that I do, and the other candidates don't have that experience. One thing that I also think is extremely important, I'm one of only two up here who have worked in a jail. as Jake said, detention centers are the place you're going to get sued if you don't know what you're doing. It's extremely important to know what's going on back there, whether it be legalities or other issues back there. But I also think it's equally important to know how to work the patrol side. And I've done both of those, and I'm still certified in both of those. But there's even issues where, you know, you think of Johnson County and the sheriff being the sheriff here, but there's issues outside of our county that affect our county, legislative issues, radio issues. It goes on and on and on. And this is all training that I've been to for many, many years, and I've kept up on this type of thing. It's something that the other candidates don't have. And there's all kinds, hundreds and hundreds of hours of extra training that I've had in incident command, search and rescue, and other stuff like that, that, you know, I have that training. I've been prepared to do this job for the last, you know, 25 years. So, you know, that's what I know about that.
All right. Down to the other end for Rod. Rod, what distinguishes you from the other candidates?
Well, I think a couple things. I think I've formed relationships with the people that are important that makes law enforcement successful. Those guys are the Buffalo Police Department. I have a super good relationship with Chief Carter and the officers there. And I think you don't, you know, we talk about relationships. You build those. You gain trust. You do it through work ethic and show that you're willing to work and those, that doesn't come easy. You're not, it's taken a lot of years, and I think that I've formed those relationships already that puts us a step forward as far as going into this new sheriff. Like Doug said, the undersheriff, who is super important to this office, is leaving this place, Kerry Wolf, and he's going to be a hard one to replace. And it's about how you surround yourself. I'm not the smartest person in the world, but you surround yourself with good, like-minded, hardworking people, and you have it. I just think that I'm going to bring a lot of dedication and a lot of hard work and a lot of hours that I focus now on the narcotics and the kids, and that will go straight into the sheriff's office. And knowing too that I want to be involved with that. I want to be involved with the narcotic stuff. I want to be involved with the kids, and I will be. So I think that part of that, I bring that relationship that's already formed.
All right. That is going to wrap up the question portion here. So we're going to go into our closing statements, and we'll do these opposite the way we did the opening statements. So, Johnny, you can come down to this end, and we'll start with Leigh Braley with a one-minute closing statement.
Thank you. I'll just close with this. The citizens of this county have always been my number one priority. Your safety and well-being will continue to be my number one priority. I don't have other jobs. I don't have things that take me away from you, the citizens, and I won't have in the future either. And I just want to be your best sheriff that I could possibly be. I have the training, the education, and the experience. Let me give back to you, the citizens, and be your sheriff. Thank you.
All right, over to Doug Schultz. Doug, one-minute closing statement.
I just want to thank everybody for listening. You know, I would appreciate your vote for sheriff. I bring something different to the table, having led and worked with people outside of law enforcement. I know how to build teams. I know how to manage change and really know how to plan to go into the future. And so that's what this next sheriff needs to do. And we're going to continue to give you the safety and the community support that has always been there from the sheriff's department. But we really need to seriously consider how do we go into the future. And I think that I'm the candidate to take us there. So thank you for your time and consideration.
All right, Jake French. Jake, one-minute closing statement.
Okay, I want to thank you as well for all tuning in to your local dial. But throughout these years, I have built up a very firm relationship with folks and the folks that come to jail. And I don't mean to read this off my notes here, but I want to make sure you get it. I have operated a firm and fair and consistent, well-ran detention facility for the Johnson County for the 18 years, which includes the staff to be not badge heavy. And everybody knows what that means. We treat people like what they are. They're people, and that's how it's going to stay. My goal has always been to treat everyone the same, fair, consistent, and with empathy. And I'm sure any former inmate or any inmate's family that's listening to this can attest to that. It is time for me to redirect my efforts in serving the community outside of those block walls I've stared at for so many years. And it's time to broaden the community understanding and awareness of law enforcement and the process that surrounds it. Thank you very much.
All right, over to Paul Kozicek. Paul, 1 minute closing statement.
Hey, you know, thank you guys for putting this on. Thank you for listening and those who listen later. I think I've proven myself to be a pretty honest, reliable, and trustworthy. I have a pretty good working comprehension of the sheriff's office and how it operates. I believe that I possess qualities to bring a effective and proactive and professional law enforcement for the sheriff's office. I think that you know, we have to continue to strive and continue to get better within the department, and I foresee that I can do that, and I appreciate your vote. Thank you.
All right, then down at the end there, Rod Odenbaugh, 1 minute, closing statement.
Well, again, thanks you guys. That's it's nice that you put this on and the community hears what we have to say. I'm going to tell you that I'm the best candidate for the job. We've all said that. And of course, we're going to say that. But I'm going to tell you to talk to the officers that I work with. Talk to the PD guys. Talk to the county attorney's office. Talk to probation, parole. Talk to the other deputies. They're the ones that know. They know how we act. They know how we do things at the sheriff's office. They know who puts in the work and who doesn't. And just talk to those guys. And I think if the voters do their homework, they're going to find out. And maybe it's not for me, but maybe that's I say get it from the people that work closely with law enforcement and make that choice. I'm passionate about the kids and the community safety, and I'd appreciate your vote as well.
It's for everybody.
Okay.
Really?
Sure, real
okay.
quick.
Okay, do we nominate him to be our spokesperson?
I just want to get it out there to the public. If you're not registered to vote, go register.
Absolutely.
This thing is very important to a lot of people amongst, obviously, the five of us. And even if it's you're not voting for me, but please get out there and show up and show your vote, please. Thank you.
All right. I want to thank all you guys for coming in again. Rod Odenbaugh. We got Doug Schultz, Jake French, Leigh Braley, and Paul Kozicek up here. Thank you, guys. The primary's coming up August 21st. Thanks for tuning in here on Facebook Live and on KBBS.